Well, I'm still sick.
Great. Another episode to edit out your coughs.
I know. Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's the matter with you? Have some vitamin C. Drink a glass of juice.
I don't know, man. I just can't get, like, yeah, allergies or, like, I'm allergic to something. I don't know.
Okay.
It's my house.
You got to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're a mess. You're falling apart. You turned 40 and everything has just been, woo.
Yeah, I know, right?
No good.
Over the hill and I'm just, like, tumbling down the other side.
Yeah. you're just lying in the bottom of the hill in a great heap. Oh
yeah, yeah. Oh, I just want to be well enough.
The cough was not scripted. The cough was not scripted, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's my problem. Like, I just want to be well enough where I don't cough every time I laugh. Welcome to This Endorian Life, a Star Wars podcast from the Radio Meanwhile Network. My name is Steve Rudd.
I'm Nick Gunning, and this time our journey through Star Wars vintage is bringing us to Droids, the animated series.
Yay. Today we are discussing Droids, the Great Heap. This hour-long TV movie first aired on June 7th, 1986.
You feel every moment of it. You feel every moment.
Feel every moment of 1986 as a wee boy. Yeah. I mean, like, even as a wee boy, I feel like this one, I would have been like, what the frick did I just watch?
I think, I would be like, wait, why are they just pretending like they're meeting Mungo for the first time? Why? I mean, we'll get into it, but, like,
you know, you reminded me, and I still forgot.
That it's a prequel?
That it's a prequel, and then Mungo was like, oh, R2, who's that? And I'm like, what? You know?
Yeah. I know.
For some reason, I thought, like, maybe they got separated, and then, like, they were, like, rejoining Mungo. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to work for Mungo. And
what,
you know,
like, what is the point of making a prequel? Like, it didn't need to be Mungo. There was nothing like, oh, we have to have Mungo for this. You know what I mean? Just have it be someone different.
Yeah, like,
or just have
Mungo?
It be set after. So, I don't understand.
Totally different. Just a totally different.
Angry. We're getting so far ahead of ourselves. I haven't even told you who wrote and directed this episode yet.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
This episode was directed by Clive Smith. And this is the first time we have a different director.
Oh.
He had served as a producer on Droids and Ewoks, and he's done lots of other things. But I will say, like, there's this episode is not all bad. There's good and bad things. I feel like the tone is distinctly different. Did you feel that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. The story and the scripts are written by Ben Burt. He at least had done the story for the other Mungo stuff, but we had different authors for each individual episode. Ben Burt, as you'll remember, was the one who created the original R2-D2 sounds to begin with. He's a sound designer.
Oh, no.
Worked on the original trilogy. He worked right all the way up through Rise of Skywalker and the new video games. Like, Ben Burt is, like, solidly in the Star Wars sound design team. But here he writes this episode about R2-D2, which is sort of his character, depending on how you're looking at it. But yeah. Regardless, I thought that was kind of an interesting.
Like, he's voicing the character, right? Technically,
right? Yeah, I guess. You know? Yeah, I guess. All right. It was released on PAL VHS in 1998, and let's see. Cast members, I do want to mention Melanie Melody, who'd previously voiced Queen Urga in Ewoks, voices Darva here. So we have a little bit of an Ewoks crossover.
Oh. Yeah.
And our featured cast member today is Winston Reichart, who is returning, whether you want him to or not, as Mungo Baobab. He has a long history in TV and film, is best known for his starring role in the series Neon Rider. His final role was as Frank LaGrange, opposite 90210's Luke Perry in the Western Goodnight for Justice. Are you a Western fan? Have you seen these?
No, I have not.
Okay. I want to say it's three movies. I don't know. But Luke Perry plays, like, a roving judge, like in, you know, late 1800s, whatever. So he's, like, rolling into a town and he's like, all right, the judge is here, so bring all the cases. And it's just kind of him from town to town. So it's a pretty cool, like, I mean, I always love a good Western anyway.
Cool story. Yeah,
I know. I thought so too. And there's three of the movies, and it's just an interesting spin on the whole Western genre, you know, because it's focused specifically on like court cases. So anyway, Winston Reichardt had his final appearance in one of those movies.
That's interesting. That's interesting that he, you know, did Star Wars voices and then appeared in like Western movies, you know?
Like, yeah, it did. It did. Like looking at his IMDb page, it was like all over the place. So interesting career. And he's good. I mean, it's not his fault. He does a good job voicing Mungo.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Shade like, there. His voice is fine. It's just the character is just like,
Well, all right. Let's talk about the plot for this.
All right. The uber detailed plot of Droids. The Great Heap. We open to 3PO and R2 en route to work for Mungo Baobab. This is where you find out it's a prequel to the final episodes of season one.
Man, what didn't they crib from these cartoons, right? We have Kybo Ren, we have the Rey lookalike, and now there's the Star Wars prequel concept right here. Here you go.
Yep. Yep. The first prequel. First time we have it.
Great.
Mungo is surveying the lush valley of the Baitu people who clearly know him and excitedly call to him by name. We also meet Fidge and his burrowing friend, Chub. Mungo reveals to him he's found fuel ore which should make his people very rich. Suddenly, a large shadow is cast over the land. A ship approaches, causing massive winds that uproot trees and suck up whole bodies of water. Mungo is struck by flying wood and is knocked out. Meanwhile, the droids arrive in orbit over Baitu. While 3PO dreams of getting promotions, they are attacked by a swarm of droids that board the ship, taking only R2 and 3PO with them. The droid ship takes them down to the surface, where 3PO observes that the planet seems dry and not thriving like Mungo told him. Mm-hmm. The droids are separated. R2 is sent to an astromech harem. Yes, you heard that right. An astromech harem. And they say it. That's not me interpreting it. Take him to the harem.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And 3PO is made to work. This is where we meet the Heap, a massive mechanized monster in charge of the fuel ore mine who also consumes astromech units to recharge himself. Yes, you heard that right. The Heap reveals he has Mungo in captivity after 3PO name drops him to get out of work. 3PO finds out that the Heap brought a moisture eater, destroying the local crops because he likes it dry and can mine the ore fuel better. Meanwhile, in the astromech harem, R2 takes a lover almost immediately. Unbeknownst to him, droids are snatched away to be consumed from the very pool he lounges in. Down in the mine, 3PO meets up with Fidge and
takes
Chuck.
A lover.
It finds out they too are friends with Mungo. I mean, how else do you?
Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, they were like, "You're pink, I'm blue." Let's take mechanist hands and wade into the oil bath.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Admiral Screed arrives, and we find out that the Heap is working for the Empire. The plan is to drive the natives out with a drought and send Mungo to the Emperor in hibernation. That night, 3PO is distraught that he can't find Fidge until Fidge emerges from the pipe system he hid in earlier. He gives Mungo a saw to get out, while Mungo devises a plan to get them all onto the transport, but not in hibernation. 3PO is captured by the Heap while he attempts to spring R2 out of the harem, but not before he's able to warn R2 what the Heap intends to do with them. R2 is convinced as his girlfriend was the latest victim. Shortly after, R2 escapes the harem via a daring parachute drop. Screed confronts Mungo in his cell to prep him for transportation to the Emperor, but he escapes down the tube system with the help of Fidge. While wandering the innards of the mind, R2 is discovered by the Heap and is chased by the droids. 3PO, about to be cut up and recycled, escapes into the mine and meets up with R2, also trying to escape. They are saved by the help of R2's lightsaber. Yep, lightsaber. But into the Heap's hands, who traps them in a disintegrator. They manage to escape, even without the use of R2's lightsaber, which came in handy about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was helpful, yeah.
Yeah,
before.
Trying to find ideas in a dumpster, Mungo is crushed by 3PO and R2 when they are ejected as garbage. So apparently, like, a 2x4 takes him out, But when like 3PO and R2 land on him, he's like, oh man, I'm totally fine. What are you guys doing here?
Yeah.
Mungo uses droid parts to appear as a droid in order to infiltrate the transport. They can use the transport's lasers to destroy the moisture tower. Nearly running off the edge of the cliff, Fidge steals a bulldozer and busts a hole in the side of the harem, allowing all the droids to escape. R2 takes charge of piloting the transport, and Screed is alerted to their attempts to hijack the ship. Mungo and 3PO fall off the ship as R2 takes off. Meanwhile, Fidge busts into the spaceport and takes out the ground guns. Screed and the Heap bicker over whose fault this mess is while ore begins raining down out of the transport's open door. R2 flies the ship well, but is disabled by the Heap's impressive frisbee skills. R2 pilots the transport on a collision course straight for the moisture tower, destroying it and himself. With the tower destroyed, heavy rain begins to fall, causing the Heap to go into a rage. Lightning strikes the Heap, disabling him. The rain snuffs out his power, destroying him for good. With the land restored and the Imperial presence on Baitu neutralized, the people of Baitu can get back to normal life. 3PO is mourning the loss of his friend R2 and fidgets with a little gift R2 gave him. C-3PO thinks it's a device with a recording of R2, but suddenly he realizes it's a communication device. R2 rolls up, clearly having escaped the collision, using his parachute. With the help of all the other Asmec droids, a link between them all restores R2's girlfriend. All is safe when Mungo's reinforcements arrive to the planet. Roll credits.
Did you think that R2-D2's girlfriend looked like BB-8?
Because
she was like a ball droid.
Like a ball
droid.
Didn't
have like the head on top necessarily, but like, I don't know. I kind of thought like, oh, okay, that's a little like BB-8-esque.
There were a couple other astromech-looking droids, though, that were balls, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not like rolling balls, but they were spheres.
I thought the Great Heap just looked like Megatron or something. He was very Transformers-y.
The Great Heap was honestly the most disappointing aspect of the show.
Yeah.
I think he was just super weak. And like, there was a point where, if you remember when Mungo escapes Screed.
Yeah.
And like closed off the tube that was on fire with like the fire suppression system or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like Screed's face reflecting like the fire in front of him. Dude, that was like, I was like, yo, this is good.
Yeah.
That was good intense. Frame. I was like, oh man, this is intense. Like Screed. And then immediately after that, Screed was just completely incompetent. I thought that was like, that was a little disappointing to me. And the Heap was like, just this like, he was like a mechanized Jabba the Hutt. Like he was just, he was the only reason why he was a villain is because he was just big. That's
right.
It.
But like, I do feel like there was a maturity to the storytelling that hasn't really been in the other episodes. And it,
yes.
I don't know. It just felt a little bit more serious. Like, I don't know if like if the whole show was more like in this tone. Like, I didn't really like this story, but I felt like the tone to me felt a little bit more right. It felt more, you know, legit in a lot of ways.
Did it feel to you like there was more? Like, there was probably 20 minutes more that got cut. A lot of times I was like, oh. Like, we're like switching right to here. And like,
yeah. I was really curious. Like, I was just kind of poking around to see if I could figure out, like, why this exists. Like, why they did this like this. Were these episodes that they were going to do and then decided to cut it? Like, was it the kind of thing where they were like, no, we're going to cut it at the first season. So they jump right to the end and then they're like, well, go ahead and make those other episodes as, like, a special. I don't know, because it makes absolutely no sense to, like, end the show and then come back with this special and not have it be some kind of capstone, some kind of like finale, but rather to have it be a prequel to the episodes that kids would have watched like a full year earlier. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. If they intended this to be the end, why wouldn't they have like loosely tried to like make them be on Tatooine without really saying it? Like, oh, I don't know what planet we're on, but like things look where you're like, ah, yeah, it's Tatooine, man. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Like something like that.
Or wherever 3PO says in A New Hope, like our most recent owner was Captain Antilles or something like that. Just give us a line, you know, just say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's I don't know why this show wasn't like them and Captain Antilles, you know, like right there. You got it. You know, like
that would have been
told
great,
you, but
great, man.
Whatever. Yeah, because it's not a finale in any way. I mean, it's like the least final episode we've ever seen because it goes into the episodes we already watched. So that to me, I just really, I couldn't wrap my head around that. And so, I mean, I guess I'm tipping the hand to what my oak of arc is. So I'll just tell you outright, that is my oak of arc. It just doesn't
just work,
you know, like I think they could have with like very little work given this some sort of a finale kind of feel, and they didn't. So instead, ending on a prequel a year later is just a very unsatisfying way to end this show, you know. And it's, you know, going back to the Ewok finale where we had finally, it's like we're seeing all this Star Wars stuff, you know, like all this, like we've got the Star Destroyer, we've got, you know, stormtroopers. It's like they kind of brought Ewoks a little bit full circle because they put them on the Empire's radar, which was very cool. This doesn't do that at all, like at all. Like we see the Empire and everything, but it doesn't end game them in any way. And I think it could have happened so easily. So
it feels like a filler episode was like set as the prequel.
Yeah.
So it feels like
a filler episode that served as both a prequel and the finale.
Yeah.
Banana cakes. I just don't.
That's crazy to me.
So that's that big broad concept.
That's a good oak
is my oak of arc. So what's yours?
You know, I had a lot.
Okay.
You know, because it was a longer episode, so I'm gonna bring a couple.
Do things. It.
I thought it was really funny when the guy was like, "Oh, it's sleeping gas. It's gonna be out for a week." I thought like that was very specific.
It was.
Like,
yeah.
Kind of like, if you're out for a week,
work on that dosage.
You're dead.
You're dead, my friend. Dude. That's like, a murder gas. That's a murder gas. Yeah.
Like. You wouldn't be like, oh, I'll be out for a week. Oh, we're going to be sleeping for a month. Like, no, we're going to die.
Yeah.
That's what you would say. Like, we're going to. So that seemed oddly specific.
Agreed.
The squirting flower that, like, the droid that first meets R2 on the planet.
Yeah.
And, like, what's with that? Like, what is he, a clown droid or something?
Well, we had the stand-up like, really comic droid, right? So why not?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. One thing that really bothered me that I thought was just kind of dumb was that the heap recharged with astromech droids. Like, he's massive.
Yeah.
And an astromech battery is probably not significant.
Yeah, he'd be really going through a lot of astromechs.
I don't know if you noticed it. There's a shield generator. There's the generator just like on Hoth, like in the background.
No.
And I'm like, bro, there's a shield generator.
No.
Don't bother plugging into that.
Yep.
Charge yourself. You're like a Tesla. Go ahead and charge yourself with like a AA battery instead of plugging into the freaking generator.
Yeah.
I thought that was like really weird.
It's to mouse me, droids, like, then astromechs, then protocol droids, then small ships, shield generator, absolute last.
Oh, there was an astromech droid. This actually, I laughed, but then it really bothered me that an astromech droid had a heap ball cap, you know, like a trucker hat that said heap on it.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Really? They're like, they don't know. These are like astromech droids that are like capable of like, you know, complex computations, but they can't tell that like they're slowly missing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what the heck? Come on.
Well, beep, beep, beep.
Anyway.
Beep.
Again, for a point that I thought you were going to bring up was I thought this was where we were going to get
Silver Leg. I know.
When he pulls the freaking thing down, and I was like, oh, no, come on. Yeah. Oh, you're sitting on a gold mine. Yeah. That would have been just so good.
I mean, I guess they couldn't because it was a prequel, like, and we didn't have a Silver Leg in the last one.
I know, but they still could have done it and just
why not?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but like, I guess like in back in 86, that wasn't a thing, you know, like it's a thing 30 years from now. We're like, oh, where does 3PO get his leg? You know, because then when I was a kid, I remember being like, oh yeah, his leg is a different color. And it came up in like a trivia question. And I was like, what? That's dumb. It's gold. And somebody's like, no, it's silver. And I went back and I looked, I was like, holy crap. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, that one did surprise then, like, me too.
But it's still like, I didn't really care. I was like, oh, okay. I feel like people only cared when 3PO had the red arm. Then people were like, oh, yeah, and his silver leg, too. And it's like, you never noticed his silver leg until he had a red arm, let's be honest. No one ever cared.
Have you read the comic about C-3PO and the red arm?
No, is there one?
It is. Yes, there is, and it's really
good.
Maybe we should work that into the schedule for droids.
We should, because, I mean, come on. I got to know.
All right.
I got to know.
All right.
Because the scene is so awkward. He's like, oh, have you know? You don't recognize
on account of my red arm.
Yeah,
like, that's funny.
Oh man,
I love it.
Yeah. So, okay. So, I got more.
Okay,
I got
okay. More. I'm ready.
Also, and then like at the very end where they were like, oh yeah, now that we're rid of the Empire, I was like, bro, the Empire is going to nuke your town from orbit. True. Like, just the concept of that for me was like, did we not see what happened to Alderaan?
True. I mean, I guess they haven't seen it yet, but yeah.
So like, bro, like if there's that much ore in your town, you're done.
Yeah, you're done.
I'm sorry. You're done for. All that pink gas that you're going to be out for a week.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to die.
Yep.
You're just going to shoot that down there. I just thought that was really funny that like, oh, we're saved, you know? And it's like, No, it's the Empire, bro.
Yep.
It's like
yep.
a locomotive just mm-hmm. slowly moving. Like, you know, you may have derailed one car, but a whole, you know, 100 cars are still coming at you.
Yeah.
I had a lot to complain about. I mean, the harem, let's be honest, like, whose idea was that?
Yeah, that's
for a show. Like, that's it's weird. A droid harem. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's okay, everybody. It's droids.
Yeah.
It's like, but you still said it's a harem. That's like saying, like, oh, yeah, it's a droid hooker, but it's okay because it's a droid.
It's a droid. Yeah. It's a droid.
A hooker, but it's a droid.
Yeah.
Hooker. And it's just like, that doesn't, that still doesn't make
I
it
guess,
good.
Yeah, they're very sex positive, I guess, on whatever, whatever that planet that we're on.
Blow.
Yeah. I don't
like,
know.
It was harem. I had to rewind and look at the subtitle because I was like, I heard harem, but there's no way he said that.
Yep.
That was really weird to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about something good?
Mm.
Land something on me here. That's something.
Well,
what was good about this episode? What's your Ichiwawa?
It's harem adjacent. I'll say that.
Ooh. You're so sex positive.
I thought this concept of like the droids having like a culture.
Yes.
This whole like droid oasis and stuff. I thought that was like really interesting because Star Trek eventually gets into that with like holograms and things like that. Mm-hmm. Holograms and of course like androids, like as they discuss Data and Data's rights and things like
right.
that. Star Trek does kind of get with those issues a little bit, and Star Wars never does. You know what I mean? It's never like, but what does C-3PO want to do? You know? So yeah. I thought the fact that like they were showing this like droids just like hanging out and socializing and living their lives and stuff was kind of a unique concept within Star Wars. And I would have liked to have seen more of it. I thought that was interesting.
We got a ton of droids. Yeah, we got a ton of droids.
We did.
All the workers were droids.
But just like hanging out, like not.
Yeah.
Like they weren't working necessarily. Yeah. They were just like, ah, it's my off time, you know, like
it's my day off. Yeah. There was a, car wash like thing that the droids could like roll through. It was like a droid sauna, the oil bath. I mean, I thought it was great. Like oil bath, like, come on, like, you know, this oil bath's going to feel so good. Oh, you know, like it was an oil bath. Great. You know, like
it fun.
Fits.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars. That is
like, you got droids rolling in being like, look, I just want to put on my Great Heat baseball cap, find a nice droid hooker, and enjoy my week.
Enjoy my week, and I just want to wear my Speedo.
So, what do I care? What do I care?
We're all droids.
So that's mine. The whole concept. The whole concept of droids just hanging out. So what about you? What's yours? What's your Ichiwawa moment?
You know, I've really only found one bit of joy in it.
okay.
It was the use of the AT-AT body as the transport.
Okay.
Like, for some reason, my brain started to, like, go, like, wow, that's such a great idea. Because then, like, they could transport stuff. Like, then, like, a ship can come down on the legs and like land, you know, like I just thought it was like a good use of like, okay, they're using that kind of like perfect example would be like a C-box, a Connex box, right?
Okay.
Connex box can be stacked on a boat. You can pull it off and it goes right onto a truck and can be driven away and it can be put on wheels and be pulled by a pickup truck like that there's like, it's such a well sought after thing because of its versatility. And this was the first time we saw something that like, oh, that's actually kind of versatile, right? It's an AT-AT body, but it's also the transport. So it could like fly and then land and then like the little shuttle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so like, I thought that was really cool. I thought it was really interesting. I don't know if you noticed that the settlement reminded me a lot of the settlement on Jedha on Rogue One. And it was like was very much like a plateau, like a crater plateau type deal,
right?
With a spire in it, just like in the. So like that to me was like a ooh, I've seen that before in Star Wars, and I like Googled like the, you know, city of Jedha, And I was like, oh, yeah, totally, like, it's the same
interesting
thing. You know, like, whether they did it on purpose or not, I don't know. You know, yeah. I'm sure these people, when they when they're thinking about movies, they sit down and they pour through everything Star Wars. You know, and I think Rogue One, they really did do that with, like, pouring
I didn't think about that, but now that you say it, I mean, it makes sense.
Looks very much like Jedha.
Yeah.
Similar type of settlement. So I thought that was cool. There was a couple other things that, like, it was either Screed was unnecessary or the Heap was unnecessary in this. Because then you got to think back to the end of season one where Screed and Mungo are, like, at it. Right? Like, they know each
other. Right.
But in this episode, like, this was what set that up because, like, Screed really didn't have any beef with Mungo. It was the Heap.
Exactly.
I thought that was a little weird. Like, you know, I appreciate that they chose a droid enemy to have lots of droids working for him and have all the droids.
Yeah.
So that, like, fit perfectly. But, like, that's Screed already. Screed is, like, the droid guy. He's kind of like Moff Gideon, right? With, like, oh, I love droids. Let's have droids.
Yep.
Droids are great. I don't know. That kind of bothered me, I think. I don't know if that bothered you, but it felt like we had two villains, both of which were just not effective. And then they argued about whose fault it was, you know?
I think the concept behind the Great Heap, like I said, could have been something cool, and it wasn't. So maybe if we ditch Screed and kind of play up the Great Heap and make that a thing that, I don't know, is interesting. Like, I do think that there are things in there that could have made that work that just kind of didn't.
Yeah.
So I guess that's just the way it is. Yeah. But it's not a good ending. It's not a satisfying ending.
No, it's not.
I still feel like if somebody was going to watch one of these, I would say just watch Kobe and the Star Hunters because it's standalone. It's fun. And if they were going to watch an arc, it would have to be Jantosh. I mean, it would have to be the Prince and the Pirate. I mean,
I agree. I think those were truly our favorite.
Way to go. What an adventure that we've had together.
Yes.
I've been burned before when I've said this, but maybe the Droids comics will be more fun.
I think they will. I feel like the Droid show, we really struggled with that. And it's disappointing because I feel like at times it felt more like Star Wars, but like, then it
definitely
like
a bad Star Wars.
Yeah, it had the look of Star Wars, but not the feel of Star Wars. I think that's what I want to say. Where it was just like, what?
Yeah, that makes
watching
sense.
But those are stormtroopers, but they're like, they're even more ineffective than actual Star. They're not even holding blasters; they're holding like gaffy sticks. Which was, I was like, what the heck? Like, you know, like, were they not allowed to draw them with guns? Like, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
You notice there's like no guns. Like, even Screed's weapon is like a phaser, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Especially for one of those times. I don't think they cared at all about violence in cartoons at that moment. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's true. What a weird way to end a series. What a weird end to the series. I don't know. I feel like the Droids comics are going to be better. I just do. Because I think overall, we've pretty much been happy with the Ewoks comics. So I'm curious. I know I flipped through and kind of looked at them. I wanted to read them, but I didn't, but I wanted to like hold back to like experience it along the way. And I do see a lot of like stormtroopers and funny looking characters. So I'm curious to see where that takes us.
No, I mean, revisiting the Ewoks comics has been fun. So I think that the Droids, that's my hope too. So we'll see. But next time we'll be back on Andor for Ewoks number 8, The Eye of the Kreegan.
Ooh. You know what?
So we'll see what that's all about.
Maybe an Ewok dies. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe. An Ewok lays down his life.
For
there's only one way to find out, and that's to listen to our next episode. So we'll see you then, everybody.
We'll see you next time. This Andorian Life was brought to you by the Radio Meanwhile Network. Other shows on the network include 90s Music Got Me Like, Previously on X-Men, and 9021 Here We Go. Share your thoughts on this and upcoming episodes by following us on Facebook or X at Andorian Life. And please rate, subscribe, and share the show wherever you get your podcasts.